The Supreme Court made a decision yesterday throwing out a challenge to government efforts to have social media companies remove posts if it considered it misinformation. And it was a 6-3 decision led by Justice Amy Coney Barrett. And basically, she said, writing for the majority, that they didn't prove that they had indefinable harm. Like, they didn't prove that they were harmed by this. And
therefore,
so,
they didn't have standing.
Right. So they just move on from this case. What does it mean moving forward when it comes to First Amendment limits? Let's ask Nancy Costello, professor of law at Michigan State University and director of the Michigan State University First Amendment Clinic. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
What do you take from Murthy versus Missouri when, you know, they didn't exactly define First Amendment limits?
Well, I don't think there is a lot we can take from it because the Supreme Court essentially did not make any kind of decisive ruling on the First Amendment free speech protections of people using the internet, posting on the internet, posting on social media sites. It was very specific to this case. The decision basically said that these particular plaintiffs, which were two states, Louisiana and Missouri, and three different plaintiffs, I think, and one of which, one of the plaintiffs included the founder of a far-right conspiracy website, basically saying these five plaintiffs simply couldn't show that they were harmed by the government's actions here. And the government's actions were members of the Biden administration were talking to social media companies and suggesting that they remove content or don't that was posted that had to do with this was really focused on around the COVID-19 epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
And the misinformation, disinformation that was being posted on different websites about this, things like that the perhaps how harmful the vaccines could be, the spread of COVID-19, et cetera. There was a lot of misinformation about this out there. And the Biden administration was believed that this was posing a public health hazard. And of course, we know that COVID had shut the country down economically, socially, et cetera. And so the longer this misinformation, disinformation was out there and people were not getting the proper protections or perhaps getting the vaccines, that this was really damaging to the country. So that's why they were talking to the social media sites. But the social media sites made the decision of what they were going to do about the content. It wasn't the government actually shutting down the content. They were talking to the social media companies about it.
But Nancy,
companies made the decision.
When the federal government puts their thumb on the scale, it's not really a thumb, it's the whole leg. I mean, come on. When they do that, they're not like other people or other entities exercising their First Amendment. They have the ability to punish those social media companies with regulations, higher taxes, whatever. So we need a reckoning on that at some point about what the federal government's role should be.
But we didn't see those higher taxes. We didn't see those penalties.
Well, in a legal matter, no. But I mean, in speaking in theory here, we need to at some point find out where the guardrails need to be, don't we?
So one of the things that was also brought out as evidence in this case was that the social media companies had already started both to discuss removing this information, but also they had started removing it themselves.
And Amy Coney Barrett basically said you're putting the cart before the horse here?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, essentially, yeah. So while an interesting ruling and for, at this juncture, conservative voices might see this as a defeat. Really, it's only really specific to this case. Because the Supreme Court didn't pass any kind of dictum here on how free speech rights apply or don't apply in this situation.
So, Professor, how do you think this ruling is going to shape discussions and legal challenges surrounding digital rights and free speech in the future moving forward?
I think it depends on the case that comes before the Supreme Court. I think they essentially sort of sidestepped this whole issue. And it's not unusual. The Supreme Court will do that. I do think that one of the things that was interesting about this was that the opinion was written by Amy Coney Barrett and she is sort of a darling of the conservative voices. And people, a lot of conservatives had hoped that in her appointment by President Trump, that they would have had more power on the Supreme Court. And Amy Coney Barrett was one of the six justices to say that, no, this case doesn't hold water here, and it's not going forward. And so that might be something of a disappointment.
Nancy, you think there are some other cases that could help define government's role more so than the case we just discussed? And these are Net Choice v. Paxton and Moody v. Net Choice?
Yes, those cases, we haven't yet gotten a decision on that case yet. Those cases, and that could happen any day now. Those two cases came out of, one was out of Florida, one was out of Texas, and essentially involved challenges to laws in these states that would regulate how and when social media companies could moderate their content and require companies to be transparent about the practices. NetChoice, notably, it's a coalition of social media companies and internet platforms that challenge the laws, claiming that they violate the big tech companies' free speech rights. And these laws were largely a reaction to X, or formerly Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube suspending Donald Trump from their sites and removing content posted by conservative voices following the January 6th attack on the nation's capital.
So you believe in this instance the Supreme Court won't be able to sidestep and we'll get some sort of guide rail in 30 seconds?
I will never tell you that. The Supreme Court often sidesteps and punts when it can, but this is another opportunity for them to make a ruling to decide. It has to sort out, it could sort out what practices by social media companies are expressive conduct protected by the First Amendment and what is non-expressive and could be regulated by the states. It poses that issue to them, and we'll see what they do with it.
We'll wait and see. Nancy Costello, professor of law at MSU and the Michigan State University First Amendment Clinic director. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.